Tonight we have the very rare and precious fortune of having the opportunity to ask any questions we may have to these two great and wonderful Vaishnavas, Srila Bhakti Charu Maharaj and Srila Jai Pratak Maharaj. We're very thankful that they've taken their precious time to be with us tonight. So please ask any questions.
Vishnu Om Agyana Timarindasya Gananjana Salakaya Chikshushun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Shamini Tinamini Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sundavadhi Paschatya Deshatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadharo Sivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Why do they only repeat when I say Hare Krishna but not Sri Krishna Chaitanya?
They want to listen very carefully.
Once again. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadharo Sivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukhakaro tivachalang pangurangayate giring yatki pat mahang bande sigurung dinatarinang paramananda madhavam si chaitanya ishwaram. Om Tat Sat. When a person is doing service which is directly related to the Lord, for instance, a deity worship, cleansing the temple, serving the devotees, then it's very easy to connect that service with the Lord because the service is directly connected to the Lord, directly related to the Lord's service.
But sometimes when a person is performing some material occupation, then they find it difficult to connect that activity with their devotional activity, with their devotional service. But there are some ways that that can also be connected. For instance, Srila Prabhupada explained how for a grihastha, they have certain dharmas. Brahmacharis have certain dharma. One of the duties of a brahmachari is to beg. But a grihastha is forbidden to beg for himself, own maintenance, except for brahmanas. Those are functioning as brahmanas. And that's also limited. So, but a grihastha's duty is to give dan, to give charity. So, from our work, if we see that some percentage of our earnings we're giving to Krishna, or if we can see how what we're doing is also, we can use that in various ways which are beneficial to our devotional service, how we're maintaining our deity worship, or how we're maintaining our family in the consciousness of Krishna. We connect what we're doing, that this is also part of our devotional service. Just like Murari Gupta, he was a doctor. So in order to chant Hare Krishna, he also had to maintain his family. So he was curing people that would come to him. And one time Lord Chaitanya also came to him and said that, yesterday you gave me such a big feast that today I'm having stomach ache. So you cure me, you're a doctor. So you gave one glass of water and so you drink this. By drinking the water, he was cured. Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. So that he could maintain his family, his occupation was a doctor. And then with his free time, he engaged himself in Krishna's service. And he was also, as a grihastha, he was inviting Lord Chaitanya, he was feeding the devotees. So in this way, we can consciously connect what we do as a devotional service. So that way, we shouldn't forget that what we're doing is for Krishna. That's why in also in Bhagavad Gita it says when we are offering something to Krishna, we can at the beginning and the end of any action, we can offer it with the words Om Tat Sat. That this is meant for the pleasure of Krishna. I've heard the example given. I'm not sure who gave that, if it was by Prabhupada, but someone gave the example that was quite appropriate. Let's say you're going to do some shopping for a gift for someone. You go out to the store, you do the shopping while you're looking, what does this person like, what will be good for that person, red, yellow, green, this side, that side, whatever. You have to do so many things. But the whole action is being ultimately offered to give a gift to that person. So although the activity involves doing many different things, because ultimately it's all meant for giving as a gift for someone. So the whole thing is connected to that person. Similarly, everything we're doing under the guidance of Guru, Krishna, guidance of the sadhus, then we connect what we're doing also with Krishna. That this is also part of our devotional service. Some are direct devotional service or some may be indirect, where we're earning or we're doing, which is ultimately also so that we can offer some fruits and offer our service to Krishna. The Lord Chaitanya didn't want us to abruptly change Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying that Nama Swaya Jatano Tumi Thakoho Apano Kaji. You stay in your same occupation, But very carefully you take the shelter of the holy names of Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Would you want to add anything else? That's why I felt that the lacuna must be you are not practically connecting what you're doing with Krishna. You're giving me a symptom I was diagnosing. Because when devotees are connecting whatever they're doing to Krishna, they're feeling satisfied. If someone is doing but is not feeling satisfied, then there must be some lack of connection. Somehow they are not seeing what they are doing as a devotional service. So if we are able to consciously see how that service, how what we are doing will be a service to Krishna, then it takes it from some mere intellectual platform to the practical, realized platform. There are various ways that a person could use their occupation, which might not be devotion directly connected to Krishna. Could be business, could be lawyer, could be so many things. There are various ways that one can connect that to Krishna. Subhag Swami Maharaj ki
jai.
So if you connect that work that you're doing, you see how it's connected to Krishna's seva, then it shouldn't be a very big difference between that or anything else you're doing. You're feeling satisfied when you're chanting, isn't it? Well, it takes time. It's a gradual process. We have to go on cleansing, cheta darpana marjanam, by cleansing the heart more and more, then we are able to be more fixed. We go through the different stages, adho sraddha, satsanga, bhajanakriya, anarthanivritti, then nishtha. So when we are in the fixed, we're always feeling that connection with Krishna, we're always fixed in our devotional service. There's the fifth level, right? Fifth. Then after that, ruchi, ashakti and bhava. So that's already quite advanced, over 50% of the way. So when we are intermittently feeling their happiness, that's already a very, very good sign. But to get to the level where it's fixed, that requires very systematic cultivation of our sadhana, of our philosophy, whatever doubts are there, eradicating those. Then we gradually come up to the level where we are fixed. But now that maybe Maharaj is not satisfied, so you have to, Krishna wants you to satisfy him. I have failed to. Yes, why not? It's all right.
The living entity's condition in the material nature is like a diseased person. So that condition stage is actually a diseased stage called bhava-roga. Now, that you have intellectually understood that you are suffering from that disease, now, and you have taken the medicine is devotional service. So you have to allow the medicine to start working. You realize that you are suffering from a disease. You started to take the medicine. Now, you won't get cured overnight. You have to allow some time. And at the same time, you have to keep on taking the medicine, and also you have to take care that you do not allow the disease to increase, allow the medicine to work and it will decrease. And as Maharaj said, like gradually it will happen. Now intellectually you understood that you must take to the devotional service. You are practicing devotional service seriously, chanting the holy name. So you have to take care that you don't commit offense. So this holy name must be chanted offenselessly. And as we chant the holy name offenselessly, gradually, as Maharaj pointed out, we'll go across the stage of anartha nivritti. Actually, anarthas are our material contamination. And when the anarthas, all these material contaminations are eradicated, then gradually we will develop the taste, first there will be attachment to the holy name, we'll get the taste, and from the taste we will develop spiritual emotions, and ultimately we'll experience love for Krishna. And that love for Krishna is the source of spiritual joy. You have to be a little patient. So Rupa Goswami in this respect is saying, utshahan nishchayat dhoijyat. One must be enthusiastic, and one must be nishchayat, that one must be determined. One should be fully convinced, yes, I have got the medicine and this medicine is bound to work. The medicine has been given by the perfect physician, the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if I take this medicine regularly, I'll get cured. But then comes dhoijyat. Dhoijyat means patience. So with determination, conviction and patience, we must carry on rendering devotional service. And it will work. And another thing is, you see, the intellectual platform is the subtle body. But pure devotion is beyond the subtle bodily platform. It is in the pure spiritual platform. And when we begin to render pure devotional service, that will be the state of pure spiritual existence. And it will happen. And when it happens, then we will experience that anandam or anandam buddhi, which will be vardhanam, which will be continuously increasing. Hare Krishna. Okay, aprasada, the Sanskrit prefix a means not. So prasada means mercy. So by the mercy of the spiritual master, we receive the mercy of Krishna. But when the spiritual master becomes dissatisfied, and we are unable to receive his mercy, then there is no way. That means when the spiritual master is dissatisfied with us, then we cannot possibly receive the mercy of Krishna. Is that all right? Hare Krishna.
Visiting the holy dhar in association of exalted Vaishnavas and trying to purify our heart. During that process, many miles away, one of our dear ones leaves this planet, then this association helps that departed soul spiritually?
Who are you asking?
Maybe
answer on
time.
Let them ask questions.
We just go one after another. Not here.
Yeah, the question is, when someone is rendering devotional service in a holy town doing parikrama, and he gets the message that one of his relatives, hundreds of miles away, departed from this planet, the question is whether he derives any spiritual benefit. Yes, and you just mentioned that the person who left this planet is your grandfather. It has been mentioned in the scriptures that when someone becomes a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then his 10 generations before and 10 generations after also derive the spiritual benefit from that. And so, when you have become a devotee, just the fact that you have become a devotee of Krishna, your grandfather will derive spiritual benefit after that. And now that you are in a holy town and you got the news and you are wishing him well, yes, Krishna will hear your prayer and he will take care of the departed soul.
Sorry, I'm asking this directly because for the last 7 days I've come over here and I'm observing the highest respect we give or body sankasar is giving highest respect to the sannyasis and the gurus. So because it was torturing me, so I tried to directly ask this question. I thought I'm offending, please forgive me for that. The thing is, it has been seen that because I'm living at a nearby level, if a little bit of respect has been given to myself, a false pride should come to me, thinking that this is given it to me and not to Krishna. As per the rule, it is going to Krishna because I am not the Lord as such. So this is constantly for me as a glorified angle, it comes to me directly, feeling that I am the doer and that false pride comes into my heart. Now, when such a high respect is being given to the gurus and the sannyasis, how is it so that the highest level guru people and the sannyasis, they constantly keep in the mind, of course, all of them have to keep in the mind that this is not coming to me, but it is going to the Guru, means the fourth Guru and Krishna, it is not going directly to them. Now this thing is constantly, they have to keep in my mind 24 hours a day. Even little bit of things has been gone up, they are up from the solution that all together. So how you people are keeping that thing constantly to their mind, that nothing is going on from them?
A person working in a bank in the department. People are coming every day giving him hundreds and thousands of rupees. Now, does the person think that the money is given to him? If he thinks and he takes the money for himself, he will be in trouble. But a proper employee in a bank, working in the cash department, he knows that he is just the keeper of that money, and the money actually belongs to the bank. Similarly, the devotee's business is to accept whatever he gets on behalf of Krishna. And he acts as a buyer medium between the giver and the real recipient. And this is to offer him to Krishna. Now, as long as quiet sannyasi, anybody, even a brahmachari, goes out, collects money. So what does he do? He brings the money and gives it to the temple authority. So as long as one acts as a buyer medium, it is alright, because he is not receiving it for himself. he is receiving it on behalf of Krishna. Similarly, especially a guru, he has to be very, very careful that he is a via medium. Like, via medium between his disciples and Krishna. So whatever he gets from the disciples is actually not for him, it is for Krishna. The honor that is offered to him is actually meant for Krishna. Therefore, as a transparent via medium, he offers everything to Krishna. And as long as he can do that, he is safe. But if he ceases to become transparent, if he becomes opaque, then he will be true. Just like a bank employee starts to think, oh, this money is coming to me, this is my money, and starts to squander it. Then he will end up in the jail. Similarly, if a guru squanders Krishna's money, thinking that it's his or Krishna's property, Krishna's respect for himself, then he'll also end up in the jail of his material nature.
It is this thing, people, all of them are doing this thing. It is very simple to understand it, this philosophy. But what I want to say, ask very clearly, is what precautions you have taken it to see to it that this consciousness is being kept 24 hours a day constantly in your head. And because the thing is this way, even a tinge, even for 1 minute also, if that thing is not there in your head, my head will grab you up and you can be off from the vigilance altogether. So what is the thing that you are keeping your heart constantly 24 hours a day, not at all behaving yourself, because pride can come at any moment. And even the respect and everything is being given constantly to you 24 hours a day. Wherever you go, the flowers, the garden, touching your feet, everything is going on constantly. At any time, if you are deviating a little bit here and there, Maya can trap you, because Maya just wants to get an opportunity to trap you off. So I just wanted to get at the thing, what is constantly you are keeping the apparatus, or what is that thing which you are keeping your heart, so that this thing doesn't affect you, because this law will be applicable to everybody.
So there are two considerations. Individually, the guru or sannyasi has to be very vigilant, very careful, that he does not ever consider that it is offered to him. He is just receiving it on behalf of Krishna. And he should pray. That is one consideration. And the other consideration is the association of devotees. That Prabhupada has given us the association of devotees in the form of ISKCON. And in ISKCON, Prabhupada has given a line of authority. The ultimate managing authority is the Governing Body Commission, the GBC. And if anyone deviates, then the GBC, the watchdog of Srila Prabhupada, is there, and they will bark, hey, you are taking it for yourself, not for Krishna. So that's why it's so important to be in the association of devotees. And for us, it's so important to be in a kind of a structure that Srila Prabhupada gave us in the form of his time, with the Governing Body Commission. Because, you see, yes, the true gurus may think that, yes, I am the absolute. And no one can judge me. But Srila Prabhupada actually didn't want us to act in that way. He said that the GBC is the ultimate managing authority. And yes, gurus may make mistakes. But if they do, and the vigilant watchdog of Srila Prabhupada, the GBC, sees that, then they will bark. And they are barking. And that is our safeguard. So it is two ways. One way, individually we are trying to protect ourselves. And also there is a system created by Srila Prabhupada to protect us in our spiritual life.
Just add one little thing. You heard how the first example that Maharaj gave about the teller in the bank. Now somebody is working in the bank, if he knows that the manager of the bank is standing right behind him, right by his side, then they might be more vigilant in what they're doing. Any employee, if they know the boss is just there watching, they tend to be quite attentive to their duties, isn't it? Right? So when one is on the level of a guru, he should be always conscious of Krishna, that Krishna is watching at every moment. Jai Radha Madhava Ki. In this regard, here in Mayapur, one time Srila Prabhupada, he was commenting that how Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was always by his side at every moment. And he was emphatically saying, he's right here. He's seated right here beside me. And you could feel, but yes, he was there. So wherever Prabhupada went, he was carrying with him the Guru Parampara and Krishna, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And they were watching and they were giving their blessings. Hare Krishna.
You have asked so many things. Essence, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in one sentence, Trinad opi sunichena, taruriva sahishnina, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. There are 6 points of surrender. Last and finally he said, one should be very meek and humble, think himself most fallen. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also said that as long as you are thinking that I am the most fallen, you can never be a servant of Krishna. Now I have already told you, you have asked so many things. Krishna said that, jatha icchasi tathaku. That means, Krishna is Vibhu and we are his Onu. So our independence also almost nil, almost nothing. That's why final he is saying that sarvadharman pohitajya. Just surrender to me. But at the same time, if you are really humble and sincere, there is always our conscience will be whispering, I shouldn't do this. That is Paramatma. So you should listen. That is, Chaturtha Guru is there. Though we have got little independence, we can deliver. That is why Krishna says, Jatha Ichchasi Tatha Kuru. You cannot, then just surrender. Be obedient to Krishna. These things are very subtle. The question you ask. Krishna is always there within our heart. So, we are called, we have a little independence. Sometimes we may think, why Krishna is not controlling me when I'm going to do wrong something. That's why Karta Doer has two. One is called Hetu Karta and one is called Projojak Karta. That means he induces us to do something. So he has given us independence, otherwise we become stone. So we can make proper use or misuse it. In order to make proper use, we have got our guideline in the scripture. As far as your knowledge goes, you can follow the scripture. You cannot. You just follow exactly what Guru says is representative. Whom can dispel your doubt? When you listen for him, you find out whether you develop attachment to Krishna and cut your material attachment. You listen to him. And then make relation with him. What is the difficulty? Though these things are very subtle, and exactly in black and white everything cannot be told. But if you are sincere, depending on your degree, answer definitely will come from inside. That may not be always exactly same, but it will be in the same line. In the line Krishna spoke, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke, instruction they gave. What is the difficulty? Yes? Well, three guide is there, Shastra, Sadhu and Guru. Out of three, you find out which two tallies. Can you take that? What is the difficulty? Yes? Answer. What is the difficulty? In the history, we find other sampada also. This thing happened. So, sometimes it may happen. That's wrong. That doesn't necessarily mean other same thing will happen again and again. You check it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, also Hari Bhaktivilas there, sometimes you can check before selecting and making relation. At least 3 years, if not even 12 years, you should check it before making relationship permanent with somebody as your spiritual guide. Sometimes it may not be possible, it may not be practical. So some devotees, they quickly make relationship and they should be prepared to pay the price. Yes?
Shastra is the incarnation of the Lord. Sometimes for understanding fine points in the Shastra is difficult. The Guru is there to give the detailed explanation of Shastra. But if the Guru goes against the Shastra, Then it becomes obvious that this qualification. So Guru is to represent Krishna. Without representing Krishna, then there is no question of Guru. Prabhupada one time said, there is no such thing as a bogus Guru. Either you are Guru or not Guru. Guru means bona fide. That means if you are not bona fide, then you are not Guru. This like, as you know, you might be knowing something about power of attorney. When his power of attorney, so what is Guru? He's got power of attorney from the Guru Parampara. But if that person who is holding power of attorney, if he decides to go against the interest of the person who issued the power to him, then any kind of power can be cancelled, isn't it? He has to be acting for the interest of the person who is issuing. So that power is also humility. Bali was not puffed up when he went to the, when Vamanadeva came. I mean, in the sense that the particular thing of not accepting his guru was not out of mind. Maybe giving that three piece of land had a tinge. But the fact that he was following the shastra, the guru, all along he had told me, I should worship Vishnu. Now you're saying, here's Vishnu, don't worship him. So how? Why this contradiction? So now if Vishnu is here, I have to serve him. The Guru is all along giving some instructions and they change. The Guru, if he changes and then goes against the only thing he taught, goes against the Shastra. Then what can one do? Then one has to surrender to the Shastra, surrender to Krishna, directly. So the original question was about humility. Humility, what Chaitanya described, that we have to be more tolerant than a tree. The Prabhupada explained how the tree is standing in the wind, in the rain, in the sun, in America, also standing in the snow, in the Himalayas. Sometimes people are going and cutting the branch using a fardatun to brush their teeth, or for firewood. Tree is not complaining. The Prabhupada said how, also another plant, you step on the grass, it goes down, and you walk away, and again gradually comes back up. So Vaishnava, it's not that humility means that we just let people, that we lose our enthusiasm or lose our determination. But it means we're so determined, even though under certain circumstances we may bow down, that doesn't mean, but our root is very strong, that we get popped back up. We are flexible to certain situations. Like the coconut tree and the hurricane, it bends, but the big oak tree is very stiff and crashed down. So sometimes we have to be flexible, but because we are knowing what is the absolute truth. The other part is amanena manadena, not desiring respect for oneself and offering respect to others. This is another big aspect which was already discussed. We offer respect to the others, but if someone doesn't respect us, for that we don't get disheartened. We are not desiring that anyone has to offer respect. In this way there are so many aspects of humility. Prabhupada was saying that Arjuna was being humble by fighting in the war. He was puffed up when he said, he was not humble when he said to Krishna, I'm going to lead and be a beggar, but I won't fight. I mean, he was giving his own independent idea what he wanted to do. But when he surrendered to Krishna's idea, that was humility. I think you know the story about only child, the Alala Gula.
the misuse of the free will. You are knowing that example. Jai Dharmarava Sati Vrindavati. Jai Maya Pur Chandra Ki. There was once a family had only one son. So they gave all the love and affection to that son. He became, they call him Bengali, Alala Dula. Like a spoiled. So much affection and love they're giving to that child. Because he was the only child, so he started to think that parents are dependent on me. That they're always feeding me and pampering me and taking care. So he's thinking like, you know, whatever I do, that's the truth. That's the absolute. So one day, the child in the morning closed the doors and windows and stayed in the bed and just covered the head with a blanket. So the parents, they were thinking that maybe the child is tired, maybe he was studying late or anything. So don't bother. They are so accommodating. So when it came 9 o'clock in the morning, he said, now we should call the child, it's too late. So they started knocking with it. Oh, little green pop. Oh, little flower, petal, beloved son, time to wake up, it's the morning, the sun was shouting out from the blanket, go away you thieves in the night, I know it's midnight and you are dacoits coming to rob me. It's all dark. Don't try to cheat me and fool me. Go away, you thieves. The parents were shocked. What are they speaking, thieves? And then at 9 in the morning, they said, no, no, our dear one, it's already daylight. You can see it's all light outside. No, no, it's dark in here. I don't see any light. And the father said, listen, open the window, you can see the light. Don't try to trick me. I know it's not light out there, it's dark. Your thieves are trying to fool me. Like he's being so naughty. Locked everything in the door, in the room. And finally our father was getting impatient. And look here, just open the door. No, no, I won't open the door. If the sun is shining, you say there's a sun and sun is so powerful, let the sunlight enter into this room. If the sun cannot enter into this dark room, I will not believe in any sun. So much. The father just opened the door, you'll see the light. Sun is there. So what is child is simply misusing that free will. You can use free will or misuse. What is our humility? How will use or misuse? If we choose to misuse out of false ego, that means there is no humility. And if we choose to use our free will properly in service of Krishna, then there's humility. Now anyone can misuse that free will. That is the independence we're giving, to use it or misuse it. Using it properly means real humility. And misusing it, that means the opposite. Hare Krishna. Anyway, maybe others have questions. No, Maharaji is asking questions.
Maharaj, you said you are sincere devotee, and then you always see it chanting, and you start chanting very much.
Can you repeat? We are not here at the loudspeaker, do we?
Yeah. Point it this way.
It'll make feedback.
Okay.
It's all right.
Just keep turning around.
That's right. Is it good for a sincere devotee to always feel anxiety in his mind that he is not chanting well enough?
All right, maybe this one for you.
Haribol.
Is this sincere devotee?
Yes. This is transcendental anxiety. Bhakti means transcendental anxiety. A devotee never strives for peace. A devotee is not interested in peace. A devotee is interested in service. And however much service we render, we always want to do more. Devotee is never satisfied. However well we're chanting, we want to chant more pure. We want to chant more attentively because we want to give more pleasure to Krishna. And that anxiety is actually a transcendental form of ecstasy. And it is that anxiety that will purify our heart and bring us to that state of ecstasy. What is the anxiety? To give more pleasure to our Gurudev, to give more pleasure to the Vaishnavas, to give more pleasure to Krishna. We should always be in that anxiety. And this is why we chant the holy name, to give pleasure to Guru, to give pleasure to the Vaishnavas, to give pleasure to Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Krishna. We want to do more and more and more and more forever. In Vrindavan, Mother Yashoda, how much she's always in anxiety to do more for Krishna. How the gopis, when Krishna goes into the forest, they're in anxiety that perhaps he will step on a stone with his soft lotus feet or even a thorn. Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra here in Navadvip, they were always in anxiety. How to keep our Nimai healthy. How to keep our Nimai happy. How to keep him at home. If you want peace, bhakti is not the proper path. If you want love, bhakti is the proper path. And where there is love, there is always an eagerness to give more and more and more pleasure to the beloved eternally. When we become complacent, we make no spiritual progress further than the point we're at. So yes, be in anxiety for Krishna, for Guru, and for the Vaishnavas. Anxiety to do more and more and more and more. But do not be in anxiety for your own sense gratification. That is material. When you are in anxiety because your desires are unfulfilled, that is a great impediment to spiritual progress. But when you are in anxiety to do more service and give more pleasure to your Lord, that is transcendental. And that is the price of Krishna consciousness.
How many here think someone should feel puffed up?
after all you've heard about Trinadati. How many feel we should? Of course, it's not democratic, but...
This is Mahaprabhu's brother.
That we should feel blessed or fortunate that although we have no qualification, think how qualified Yudhisthira was, how greatly qualified he was in all respects, and how much endeavor it is to do some asumate. But how, by the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, we can simply walk around his holy dham and we can get much more benefit simply by engaging in Navadip Parikrama, by chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We could feel so overwhelmed with appreciation for the causeless mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How he is giving this mercy to someone who had no qualification. You know the story about, you probably Maharaj told in Shiva Sangan about the Brahmachari Yogi who came to Shiva Sangan for the Sankirtan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Did you explain that Leela? Ms. Brahmachari, he was wearing bark, matted hair. He was living in the forest, living off berries. And if he came where people, only milk. But in the forest, there's no milk, so only berries, leaves, doing meditation, doing tapasya. You know that personality? He came from the forest to Navadvip. And he approached Srivas Thakur, whether he could join the Sankirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They want to illuminate you. Jai Narasimhadeva ki. But Srivas said that, well, I don't think I can admit you into the Kirtan, but he kept insisting, please, I'm Brahmachari. I want to be part of the kirtan. I said, well, listen, you can stay in my house and look through the window. If you look through the window, then you can, that much I can allow, but without permission of Lord Chaitanya, you can't be just admitted in the kirtan. So that evening, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, all the devotees assembled in the Shiva's Angan, and they began to chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya asked, why am I not experiencing any ecstasy today? I'm not feeling any love today. Every day I come here to the kirtan, I'm feeling ecstasy. But today I'm not feeling any ecstasy. Which of you is responsible for this? All the devotees, they put their head, each one thought, what did I do today? What offense have I committed? I'm so fallen. But the normal, what, materialistic thing, why me? Must be the other one. I didn't do anything, right? But each devotee was so humble, they're all thinking, what did I do? They're thinking, oh, I'm so offensive, I'm so unqualified, I've ruined Lord Chaitanya's kirtan just by my presence here. But then Shivas, he remembered, because before his mother-in-law had snuck in the kirtan by under a basket. So he already knew that Lord Chaitanya didn't feel ecstasy that day. So he thought, oh, he said, Brahmachari looking through the window. He said, Lord Chaitanya, there's one Brahmachari in my house, maybe looking through the window. Maybe because he's watching the kirtan, do you think that could be a cause for the ecstasy not to come? You bring that, who is this Brahmachari? Bring him here, bring him, let us see who he is. So they brought forward the Brahmachari, came with his kamandalu, you know, he had his stick. Kamandalu, the matted hair, all the wearing bark from the tree. How austere. Coming out, the beard, everything, little. And Lord Chaitanya looked at him and asked him, what do you do? What is your purpose in life? Great to the point. He said, I'm doing meditation. I'm trying to realize the absolute truth. Doing meditation and yoga. Renounced, I'm living off berries and leaves in the forest to detach myself from the material life. And Lord said, don't tell me anymore. What are you doing here in Navadvip? You want to detach yourself from the material life? You're coming to the biggest city in the whole Eastern India. You want to get adoration and prestige. People will see you like this, the ordinary grihasthas, and think, oh, look at this sadhu. He's so renounced, and they'll praise you and adore you. You have a lot of false ego. You're not qualified to be in this kirtan. Although these devotees here, they may be grihasthas, but they are chanting without any pretension. Their desire is only to please Krishna. Therefore, they are far more renounced than you. Even your goal of life is simply for your own personal benefit. You don't have the desire to please Krishna in so many ways. You are not qualified, I'm sorry, to be here in this kirtan. You please show him the door. You have seen the door at Siva Sangan? He was shown the door. And he was put on the outside of the door and boom, the door was shut. And then Lord Chaitanya and the devotees, they started to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Meanwhile, the Brahmachari was outside, sitting in front of the door. He had just been given the sauce. He had been given a very strong lesson by Lord Chaitanya. He'd been chastised. How do you think he took it? Unfortunately for him, he was thinking that Lord Chaitanya has called me proud. He has said I'm simply attached to fame and adoration. Said I don't really have the real idea of getting devotion for Krishna. He's right. He's absolutely right. Everything he said is true. I have got no qualification. I've been wasting my life doing this tapasya without knowing the real purpose of life. Seeing those devotees chanting so purely without any pretension, I could see they had unlimited peace. They were totally absorbed in Krishna. I'm in the forest eating the berries and the leaves. I get bored as I came to the city. But they're absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So what am I doing? What I can understand, although I am so unqualified, how was it that I had the great good fortune to see the kirtan of Lord Chaitanya, to see the beautiful golden form of Gauranga dancing in Srivas Angan? I have been given the most mercy, unbelievable mercy, and I am so unqualified, I am so fallen, but he was so kind, he knew I was there, but he let me watch his kirtan for some time. And thinking this, he was just started crying at how merciful Lord Chaitanya was, how kind he was on such a fallen soul. Meanwhile, the kirtan was going on inside. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya stopped the kirtan. Where is that brahmachari? Brahmachari, he's outside. Yes! I know he is outside. Bring him inside! Now he's qualified to join the kirtan. Ditai Gauri Ribamanandi! Hari Hari! Harivo! Harivo! Does that answer your question? Because just like that brahmachari felt so much mercy, so although unqualified he felt so blessed, that's how we should also feel when we are realizing the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how, what qualification we have to get this unlimited mercy. That's why it is called Ahaituki Kripa. If you try to buy it, if you try to measure its value, you can put the whole universe, as Maharaj said, Naam bina kichu nahi kawari, quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the whole 14 planetary systems you put on a scale, it doesn't weigh even one harinam. So we should think how much mercy we have. Hare Krishna.
We have our succession coming down, linear, horizontal, coming down through time, and we've seen it come from different places and fizzle out. Is there a need for a horizontal togetherness on this plane? I'm asking if there's a need for that, and if there is, what can we do to come to that end?
Out. This disciple succession is unbroken. Although at times it is less manifest, what is your question?
We have linear mind coming down, and there's only, there's four sampradayas, there's only but there's so many different shoots coming down, boxes and so forth, the different force on the diet. Is there anything you can eat that's not a fish? That's it.
Wherever we find the essence of unalloyed, unmotivated, uninterrupted surrender to Krishna, that is where we find the essence of Parampara. The main thing you should be concerned with is how you can become a surrendered soul. Don't worry about everybody else. You accept a spiritual master and you surrender to his will. And through purification, which absolutely must come through this process, then all of these details are revealed. But until you surrender, until you give up your misuse of independence, then all of these other questions and considerations are simply a distraction. We can have Vaishnav relationship with any Vaishnav from any sampradaya who is following the pure principles of Gita. But that relationship will be superficial and shallow until you surrender to the spiritual master in your line.
Go ahead now. You have the question.
Srila Radhanath Swami gave a very nice class this morning and a very nice class of Srimad Bhagavatam, Madhuna Suti Matra, which explains the symptom of the devotee that beyond the mode of material natures, that is like a conclusion to how symptom of the devotee, devotional service in mode of ignorance, devotional service in mode of passion, devotional service in mode of goodness. So if you can throw some light to the devotional service in mode of ignorance and devotional service in mode of passion, but in this book, Srimad Bhagavatam, the word Bhinnadrik and Prithak Bhava, where it states that worshipping the deities in temple in a separatist, that is mode of ignorance and mode of passion. So it will be more clear to us. If you have another book and go to the verse, it's very important because we are all in mode of, especially myself, ignorance. By reading this book, I'm doing all my devotional service of mode of ignorance and passion. So if you can clear this point briefly. The same light that you spoke so nicely on this verse, Madhuna Suti Matra. Yes.
Kapiladeva explains that devotion in the mode of ignorance is when it is motivated with envy or pride. Devotion in the mode of passion is when it is motivated by a desire for fruit of action, sense gratification. Yes. And devotion in the mode of goodness is for relief from suffering and pain, to be freed from fruitive activities. And unmotivated transcendental devotion is simply for the pleasure of the Lord. Now, how to elevate ourselves from the stages of devotion and ignorance and passion and goodness to the transcendental state? It comes by serving those who are in the transcendental state and hearing from them. Nasta prayeshya bhadreshu nityam bhagavate sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. By regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a book which deals exclusively with unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service. By submissively hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam from a person who's truly living according to these principles, and by serving such a personality, the Lord within the heart, pleased with that endeavor, removes the influences of ignorance, passion, and goodness from our heart. What?
The thought says,
yeah, separatists.
Worshipping the deity by separatists.
Mm-hmm.
That is explained in the purport. Prabhupada explains in the purport.
Mayavadis, however, interpret this word separatist in a different way. The word separatist must be understood carefully. The Sanskrit words in this connection are bhinadrik and pritag bhava. A separatist is one who sees his interest as separate from that of the Supreme Lord. Mixed devotees or devotees in the modes of passion and ignorance think that the interest of the Supreme Lord is supplying the orders of the devotee. The interest of such devotees is to draw from the Lord as much as possible for their sense gratification. This is the separatist mentality. So, separateness and oneness is based on the motivation. Sarvadharman purityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion. Yat karoshi rashnashi gajdrohoshi tapasya yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushuma tarapar. Krishna says, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer away, all the austerities, all the religious performances you perform should be done as an offering to me. One who lives by that principle is one with the Lord in interest. But one who performs their religious activities with a desire for something for me, that is a separate mentality. The separatist consciousness comes when we desire sense gratification. And the consciousness of true transcendental oneness is when we simply want to please Krishna. So as long as we are performing our service with some material, selfish motivation in our heart, that is the separatist mentality. And how to free ourselves from that separatist mentality? How to become one with the desire of God? Love means, prema means, you have no other desire except the desire of the beloved, of Krishna. Prabhupada explains the Mayavadis consider that oneness means to have no separate existence from the Lord. But we understand that real oneness is that we are eternally the servant of the Lord, but we have no separate desire than to please the Lord. And how to achieve it? Nasta prayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya. Bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktirabhavati naishtaki. In the verse that we read today, it is explained that the devotee begins the stage of transcendental unalloyed devotion through the process of attentively and eagerly hearing the message of Krishna consciousness from those devotees who are genuine and sincere. Through submissively hearing and rendering service, gradually the ignorance and the passion and all of the selfish desires within our heart are removed by the grace of Krishna. And then we can come to the unalloyed state. And what is the first and most important instruction that we are hearing from the great souls? And what is the most important of all services? To sincerely and attentively chant the holy names of the Lord in the association of the Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. By performing the Sankirtan of the Holy Name in a humble service attitude amongst Vaishnavas, gradually all ignorance, all passion, all goodness is removed from the heart, and we come to the transcendental plane of unmotivated love. So Srila Prabhupada said, just chant Hare Krishna. That is the ultimate answer to all of our questions.
He hasn't spoken for a long time, huh?
Okay. Ask it to Bhakti Sharuma.
You just mentioned that when Krishna says that a devotee is rendering full unmotivated devotional service to him, and when he says that he has become quite qualified to become a spiritual master or an acharya, it gives him a power of attorney to accept disciples and accept all service from the disciples on his behalf. But quite supportingly, the Bhagavad Gita also says that Aham Tva Sarva Pāpebhyo Mokṣeṣyāmi Māsutra. That when you do so, I shall take you without fearing. There's no doubt about it. If you give such promise, then where is the temptation of going against the scriptures and counseling the mind of such a master?
What's the last part of your question? What's the question?
I mean,
going
what's
against?
The punchline?
Yeah, what's the punchline?
The last part is that the question says that if you have surrendered fully, unmotivated, if you are rendering unmotivated service to me, I promise you that I shall protect you in all circumstances from the thing. Now, when Krishna promises like that, how does that temptation in the mind of the spiritual master comes to go against the scripture? And they say that when the spiritual master goes against the scripture, that power of God is taken away and then he falls. Now, how is that? Because he is supposed to cross all the modes of material nature and he's on the transcendental plane. Because Krishna has given him that position. So how does the temptation come to him of going against?
The temptation is due to Maya. When one becomes a devotee, it's true that he comes under direct shelter of Krishna. But if he becomes a separatist, as Maharaj has pointed out, his interest becomes separate from Krishna, then he loses that protection. Therefore, we have to understand that the business of a spiritual master is to become a transparent via medium. It's not that Krishna will always protect him unconditionally. Krishna has a condition. Sarva dharman paritajya mam ekam sharanam raja. That mam ekam sharanam raja, and then aham tvam sarva pāpebhyo mokṣeṣyāmi māsutra. So it's a contract. A devotee, it doesn't matter whether he's a spiritual master or just a disciple. Everyone has to become totally surrendered unto Krishna. And then only Krishna will give you that protection. When one is a young devotee, when one is a simple devotee, he is being protected by his spiritual master, by the other devotees. But when one actually becomes a spiritual master, his position becomes very, very precarious. Because he is taking up a lot of responsibility. It's like when you are climbing a mountain alone. It's difficult. But it becomes more difficult when you have, when you're carrying a big load on your back and climbing the mountain. Now when you're climbing alone, without a load, if you fall, that fall doesn't hurt you so much. But if you fall with a big load on your back, that fall is going to completely crack your bones. Therefore, when one takes the responsibility of becoming a spiritual master, one has to be very, very vigilant, very, very careful. And that's why it is important in this age, especially when we are weak. In this age of Kali, individually, we are very weak. And Maya in this age is the strongest. So in one hand, the Maya is extremely strong, and at the same time, we are individually very weak. So you can well imagine how precarious is our condition. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the special mission of Sankirtan. What is the meaning of Sankirtan? Sankirtan means Bohuvishvitva Jagkirtanam. Glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead collectively. In other ages, it was not a collective spiritual endeavor. But in this age, it is collective. Why? Because when we are weak individually, there are strength lies in our energy. So, it is very important that we try to make the progress or whatever we do in our spiritual life in this age, we try to do it correctly. We'll notice that when a guru falls down or when a guru starts having spiritual difficulties, you'll find in most cases they actually became isolated. If they were collected, if they were with their peers, and if they accepted someone superior, or if not superior, at least if you listen to the God brothers, many of the gurus could have protected themselves, saved themselves. But those who didn't want to listen to their well-wishing friends. On the other hand, when the well-wishing friends came and gave them the warning that, look, watch out, you may end up in trouble, then they thought their friends to be their enemies. And as a result of that, they started having spiritual difficulties. Anyway, from all these, we are learning a big lesson. And the lesson is how important it is for us to make a collective endeavor for our spiritual progress. We must try to do it collectively. And when our well-wishing friends tell us that there is a danger, when you're climbing a mountain and if a friend comes and tells, look, there's a cliff ahead of you. And if we take note of his instruction, of his advice, then we can save us. But if you say, who are you to tell me what I should do? And then there we go down this way. Therefore, Prabhupada was very emphatic about this point of unity. And Prabhupada also repeatedly reminded us that how Gaudiya Mat started having difficulty because they didn't want to accept a collective spirit of continuing movement. They just separated, started their own small little temple, few disciples, and then they ended up in problem. And therefore Prabhupada gave us this system of collective management through the GBC. Prabhupada emphatically told us that your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate with each other. And if we do that, if we are together, then even if we have some difficulties here and there, it will be absorbed. Because then I'm not alone. I have others with me. If I get into some difficulties, others will come to my rescue. So Krishna wants to protect us, provided we listen to him. We listen to his representatives. We listen to the sadhus. And we follow according to the shastras, the scriptures. But if we don't want to follow the instructions of the sadhu, if we don't want to follow the instructions of the shastra, and then if we end up in difficulty, we say, why Krishna didn't protect me? Then can you hear me name him?
One of the aspects of your question was that the spiritual master, how they'll lose that protection from Krishna, which very beautifully, and like in the, was it the Bhakti Sandarva, where Jiva Goswami was discussing how, what 50 verses are all saying, how we have to follow the Guru, how the Guru can never be given up, how there's only one Guru, one Diksha Guru, and Shikshana, so many verses are there. But then, after that, then there's about two or three verses which explain what happens when sometimes the Guru may become in a situation you have to give up the Guru. So it's not the norm, it's an exception to the rule. But it does happen sometimes. There are factors. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also explained, taking in various acharyas, Prabhupada has explained that when you take many disciples who are unqualified, then that is a burden on the Guru. Now what is that burden? What does it mean when the Guru is absorbing the sin? You see, that Prabhupada explained in some purport how the Guru's mind can become contaminated by taking too many unqualified disciples. That's why there's a period of testing, 6 months or 1 year, or up to, the Shastra says 1 to 3 years, the Guru should test the disciple. Disciples should also see the Guru, whether the Guru, they can put their full faith in the Guru. Then after going through various tests and evaluation, then the Guru give initiation. Here in Bengal, initiation, they're coming in front of our front gate, one guy with a pushcart. Diksha, Diksha, 5 taka, 5 rupees, get your Diksha, I'm Riktik, for such and such Guru. Get it now, 5 rupees. They're peddling Diksha. That Guru was, he died and he was, his disciples were beaten up and everything was totally bogus, but as you could imagine. But here, because people know about Diksha, so they're all mad to get Diksha. They don't think that, you know, it's not a question of just getting the ceremony. So we're going to find a bona fide Guru. Diksha is just the formality of linking with the Guru. But the essential thing is finding the bona fide Guru. So here there are things, many people have cheapened the whole thing in this side of India. In other parts of India, I don't know whether people know much about whether Diksha may be not so cheaply given. But say if the Guru happens to take a lot of disciples, and those disciples are not qualified, or doesn't, at least, say he doesn't take, he has a duty to test and to see those disciples are qualified. If he doesn't, if he very sincerely does all the tests and everything, later something goes wrong, at least he's sincerely trying to serve Krishna. If he's negligent in any affair, then naturally that load will come more on him. The more that he's careless to carry out what his duties are to Krishna, the more that the load will increase. Now you consider that someone has many disciples, so many sins are coming on him, it doesn't take even a little bit of the filter is there, instead of transparent, never mind opaque, just say filtering is there. You can clog up the filter in no time, get a jam up. So one of the factors is being careless about accepting qualified disciples. What did I say? Yeah, well, being careless, this is my English, you know, like, anyway. being careless to not accept qualified, you know, or careless by accepting unqualified. And everyone knows what I mean. The other aspect is Vaishnava aparat.
This is very strongly dealt with. This is the most dangerous. Doesn't matter whether you're a beginner or you're in the very advanced states. In fact, there are verses that say that the Uttam Adhikari, an Uttam Adhikari, a Mahabhagavat, the Uttam Adhikari, if he impedes the spiritual life of a Kanishta Adhikari, say someone saying, I'm an Uttam Adhikari, what is this devotee? Does something such way that that devotee's spiritual life is hampered, delayed, destroyed by some willful action. That the Uttam Adhikari can fall down because of that offense. What to speak if the Uttam Adhikari happens to be offending other peers or other people who are maybe Madhyama Adhikaris or whatever. It can have a drastic effect. As we get more responsible in our spiritual life, we have to be very, very careful. In fact, Prabhupada, he was mentioning that the thing that worried him most in Vrindavan, Maharaj was personally serving in Vrindavan, he probably was present. I remember him saying this. Also, I was present on that day by my good fortune. And he was saying that in the presence of my guru, my godbrothers didn't fight. They didn't criticize each other. But in my presence, my disciples are criticizing each other and sometimes fighting. So I'm very worried, what's going to happen when I'm not present? You should understand, all of you are dear to Krishna. You are all Vaishnava. You shouldn't take each other for granted. Don't criticize each other. You know, the Western way especially is tell it like it is, just say whatever on your mind, doesn't matter whether it's offensive or anything. But the Vaishnava way of dealing is not necessarily the same as the New York, Bronx or Manhattan or whatever. It's a different way. To be very sensitive about what you're speaking. And this way, you know, we're very totally unqualified in the modern culture because it doesn't teach you that sensitivity. To be careful not to say something unconstructively critical. When we were in one of these temples, I forget which one, just in the last 2 days on the Prikram, there was on the wall written in Bengali. In fact, it was in the Chaitanya Mat, I'm pretty sure. Maharaj, maybe you remember that, maybe one of you know that verse. There's something it says, when the Vaishnav hears a ninda, a criticism of another Vaishnav, he covers his ear and says, Krishna, Krishna, and goes away. That Vaishnava is never forgotten, is remembered by Krishna in the future. So those two factors can cause even a very advanced devotee to leave, fall down, get off the track. Now if you consider, just in conclusion, I was too long-winded. In conclusion, if you consider that, okay, there's the spiritual master, and so many sincere devotees are depending on it. Now, Krishna has to also look over only that one person, or what about all the other sincere devotees depending? Now, he may give various ways to try to correct that erring spiritual master, trying to protect him. Isn't it? He tries to protect, sends so many messages, so many warnings, so many hints, so many loving God brothers may come and say, look at Prabhu, Maharaj, whatever. But if he doesn't take that help, if he doesn't see that Krishna is helping him, giving him that protection that he has promised through Vaishnava, through warnings, through signs, through so many ways, then Krishna has no recourse but to reveal the deficiency in that devotee. For his own, the final, that's that, then he has to either, it's like sink or swim, then he has to take drastic action to save his spiritual life. And it also saves the life of the dependent people. They can see that the boat they were depending on has got a leak. And they had to go to either that is the boat, they can't repair that leak, that only the person himself has to repair. Otherwise they had to get off the boat before it sinks and get to another proper boat. Or get a new captain to their boat, whatever way you want to use the analogy. So, it's a very sensitive issue. Something that has to be dealt with very, very carefully. And we have to understand that through all this, people's faith has to be protected. The faith in the parampara, faith in the whole process. But there's reasons, there are reasons. It's not that these are just... But it's a very deep question. I'm sorry it took so long. Hare Krishna.
The prayer is like this. Vancha kalpa tarubhascha kripa sindhu bhavaja. Ocean of kripa. Just a few minutes ago, Bhakti Charu Maharaj was telling that how much to climb up a steep hill now so risky. He can lose his life. But if he carry load more and more, how much risk is? Much more? But he is taking all this risk. Is it not sign of Kripa Sindhu? Yes? So many persons, he is taking so risk, so much. What could happen to him? So, he's just like a, Prabhupada says, a boat captain is have to be efficient person. But he has got the, all the responsibility to take so many passengers to the other side, you know, they are in the material ocean of existence. So, he is taking a great risk on his part. Anything will happen to him, taking so many disciples. So, unless he become, get as Maharaj said, the attorney, power of attorney. He won't take, but at the same time they don't like to do this. But still, Prahlad Maharaj's prayer is there, like that. That people are suffering so much, so out of compassion, they take this risk. That whatever happens to me, I don't care. But my dear Lord, please, you know, save them, deliver them. So God gives them that power, and they take this risk. That is why it is saying that Kripa Sindhu Bhayavasa. It's a Prahlad Maharaj's good prayer there. I forgot. The people are suffering in this material existence and doesn't matter what happens to us. A Vaishnava thinks like that and he then takes the responsibility to take him back to Godhead. It's a great risk.
Another question is, how does one subdue obsessive behavior?
The process of devotional service. We must know it is repeated throughout the Shastra the gravity of offenses against Krishna and his devotees. We must know clearly what severe reaction will be upon us if we make offenses. In fact, Srila Prabhupada explains in one purport of Srimad Bhagavatam that at one time Samba and some of the children of Krishna offended Narada Muni, Parasara Muni. And by that offense to Vaishnavas, the entire Yadu dynasty was destroyed. Srila Prabhupada explains, even if you are directly the sons of Krishna, if you commit offense against Vaishnavas, you and your whole dynasty will be annihilated. What to speak of us? So we must know clearly how severely the Lord responds to offenses to those who have given their lives to Him. And with this information, we must be very cautious, very careful to control the tongue. And how do we control the tongue? By using it in Krishna's service. By speaking the glories of Krishna. And by speaking the glories of His devotees. And by chanting His holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And when the tendency comes to criticize or to find fault, we should know that if I speak it, I am committing spiritual suicide. At the same time, if I leave my tongue idle, it is certain to say something nonsense. So let me keep it busy in glorifying Krishna and glorifying His devotees and glorifying His holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Bol. Everybody, loudly, please. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Bol Hare Bol. Everybody stand up.